This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
The one and only
Rich Eisen.
John Harbaugh here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I think everybody's coaching for their job. Everybody's playing for their job. That's the nature of the National Football League.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests: Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, ESPN college football analyst Jesse Palmer, actor Sean William Scott, and now Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM. Literally, we're everywhere. So there's no excuse. And we've got a great show for you in store. Mike Tomlin's about to zoom in. We expect him to say hello in about 3 minutes. We're going to start the show with him. This is when he said he was available. So the answer is, of course, stay by the phone. We may need you. That's basically, you know, one of our favorite drops here on the Rich Eisen program. And so we're here waiting for his Zoom. And Kurt Warner, usually this is his time right in the first hour of a Wednesday program. We asked him to push back for a few minutes. So he's going to join us in the back end of the first hour. Jesse Palmer and all of his wonderful hair talking about the college football playoff semifinal and the rest of the world of the portal and the NIL that's so crazy to keep up with. It's a year-to-year re-recruitment of your team as well as recruiting other players from other programs. It's just it's college football free agency that's happening right now in the middle of a national semifinal that kicks off tomorrow night between Ole Miss and Miami, and then it's Indiana and Oregon. And then we find out, in terms of Indiana, how are they killing it in the portal? How do they afford all these players to say, yeah, I'm going to Indiana? And then we find out from front office sports earlier today, it's Mark Cuban helping out. Duh. Yeah. How do we not see that one coming? So that's all in hour number two. I also have my final power rankings of the National Football League regular season, getting ready for the wild card. That's on this program. Sean William Scott stops in. You may know him as Stifler from back in the day, if you recall. And now he returns tonight, today's program, as he did for last year, Shifting Gears, a new episode at 8 p.m. on ABC. We're just one big happy Disney family here on this show. And of course, as normally, I would be deep into this right now, but Mike Tomlin's going to join us in a second. On Sunday Night Football, the Steelers advance, as we all know, and the Ravens do not. And the Ravens go through their end-of-season conversations, and the conversation between Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh, after almost two decades of being together, winds up with the Ravens parting ways with the head coach, with Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh deciding it's over after 18 tremendous years, as they say on their Twitter site. And so that's to be discussed.
Yo.
And Mike Tomlin and the Steelers move on, and the Ravens move on to someone else. And that's seismic, to say the least. So there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'll give my full opinion on the parting of ways between the Ravens and John Harbaugh. The coaching carousel spinning off its axis with that piece of news. And we'll keep an eye on whether your team that decided to keep its head coach is now actually deciding to bounce their head coach because John Harbaugh is now available.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we're done.
So stupid for me to say such a thing yesterday, saying, you know, I kind of feel like this thing's over, that the coaches that have been fired are the only ones that are going to be fired.
I get it.
And as I said, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Good to see you over there, Christopher
good
Brockman.
To see you,
how are you?
Good morning, my friend.
Jason Feller, good to see you.
What's
where
up,
you
Rich?
Are. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson, where That's you correct. Are. And again, the wild card weekend is all set. And it ends on Monday Night Football with the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Houston Texans. And it starts with the Rams taking on the Panthers for a second time. And then it goes to the Packers and the Bears after that. The Sunday game is the Bills and the Jaguars. The middle game between the Niners and the Eagles is just going to be off the hook on Fox. And then you've got the Chargers and the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football before the standalone game between the Texans and the Steelers.
Let's go.
I mean, this is every single team that you see on the screen there. Every single team that you see on the screen there can win their game on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday night. It really is just that simple. This is one of the most wide open playoff fields that I can remember, and anybody can go on a run and win it all. It really is that simple. And as I mentioned, I cannot recall the last time that something like that had happened. And this is my 23rd year with NFL Network, 24th postseason going through all that. Anybody can win, and it's really anybody's Super Bowl to be had. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I see our next guest checking in right now from Pittsburgh, PA, and I could not be more thrilled to have him join. I'm honored, to be honest with you, that it's this juncture of his season, he says yes to appearing on this program. Plus, it's not only been such a long time since I talked to him, I was excited to tell him some story I've never told him about my own aunt and uncle. And he's joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Tomlin. Good to see you, Coach. How are you? How are you?
Always an honor to be on with you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. I really do appreciate that. And so let me just jump into what is going through your mind as you're getting ready for this Houston Texans team, your 12th postseason as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's going on in your head right now?
You know, it's at the strategy stage of the week for me. And so I'm just really working hard to put our guys in position to be successful. You know, we hadn't had a lot of cross video with these guys, and so I'm a little bit less familiar with these guys specifically than I am a lot of people that you play this late in the year. It's just one of those years where they haven't been in a lot of our cross video, but I'm sure they have the same perspective. And so it's equal footing from that perspective.
So you're what, staying up late watching film? That's where you are, pretty much. Who's sitting?
Yeah, I've been up a long time today. This is probably the first time I've ever talked to anyone.
You know?
I've been in dark rooms.
Do you need a minute? So you sit by yourself and watch the film. That's your prep to start a week.
I do. I like to work independently before I work as a collective. I don't like anyone else shaping my opinion or my perception.
All right. So then who are you willing to share with me that jumped off the screen in a Texans uniform? Who made you write the most notes in your notebook, Coach?
I'll tell you, that edge rush tandem and that cornerback tandem are both special. You see why they're number one in the league in defense. When you got guys that can rush the passer like those two, Hunter's got 15, Will Anderson's got 12. Collectively, they got 27. Mm. Then you got two corners, man, that are very aggressive, play close bump and run coverage. I think both got four or more interceptions. And Stingley and Lassiter, there's no secret why they're kicking a lot of butt. If you're rushing and covering, you're going to play good defense.
And so you at least have a guy on your own side. You got some guys on your own side who can obviously rush the passer and take the ball away. But also when facing two guys who are coming at you, as you mentioned, in Hunter, who, as you know, has a chip on his shoulder. I don't know if you're aware he didn't get a Pro Bowl nod. And then you've got Stingley, Lassiter, who I believe you're referring to, on Houston, on the back end. You got a neck up guy, and you got a guy who's been through now his 12th postseason in Aaron Rodgers as well. When do you sit down with him and go and pick his brain about game planning and things like that?
We'll get an exclusive hour tomorrow morning. We start every week with the quarterbacks and myself and at 7 a.m. And we'll lay a good foundation for the week, talk about personnel of Houston, Texas. We'll also talk about schematic strategy, what they do in large volume, et cetera. And it's an opportunity for us to exchange perspectives. Aaron spends a lot of time watching tape on his off days, and by the time we get to that point, he certainly has an opinion, and I'm always interested in hearing it.
I'm sure, you know, exactly. And so this workflow, you and he, when did you create it? When did this start with you and Aaron Rodgers this calendar year?
Specifically, we've been doing it all year. You know, we got unique positions, he and I, head coach and quarterback. It's important that we, you know, have an understanding, that we spend quality time together, that we communicate about, you know, a wide variety of topics, but especially things that are relevant to the here and now. And so we start every Wednesday and every Thursday morning before team meetings with some exclusive time in an effort to make sure that we're getting the train out of the station on the same page. And so it's been really good time for us. You know, you don't wait till you need it until you do it. You do it on a regularly scheduled basis. It's just good. It's just good football discussion. It aids in the growth and development of a young guy like Will Howard, who sits in on those things, but we don't allow him to say anything, but we do let him sit in.
Well, yeah.
And this week we're playing on Monday night, so we just moved it back 24 hours. We'll meet tomorrow morning and Friday morning to kind of get things started.
Well, what's it like for you to be in your position, headset on, game like Sunday night, and somebody like Rodgers at the controls, where, you know, there's really – it'll take something to fool him, and it'll take something to I guess a helmet not working would throw him off or throw anybody off. But what's it like from your perspective, Coach, after all this time of you standing on a sideline, having somebody with his knowledge and operational controls, Coach?
You know, I don't think there's any lack of intensity or urgency, but at the same time, there certainly is a comfort and an ease knowing that you got a been there, done that guy at the controls. There's value in it that's immeasurable, not only in terms of his performance, but just the collective performance. He's got a way about him that's cool. He calms the waters. And certainly we got some young, significant contributors in his huddle, and the informal things that he does are just as critical as the formal things.
And you got a good story, just before I move on from Rodgers, you got a good story of the first time this year where you're like, okay, you know, he's got it, I'm not concerned, or not that you were, but you got a good story where you're like, this is it, we got this thing. Coach?
I don't know. I make some assumptions sometimes just because I got so many other things to focus on. I knew exactly what I was getting. I haven't been blown away by his command of moments, his desire to conquer moments, his ability to do so. I just seen him too much for too long, and that's who he is. And so, you know, I think it's probably quite the opposite. If he doesn't rise up in those moments or smile in the face of adversity at those times, I'd probably be surprised. And he certainly hadn't done that.
Who came up with the idea of you, Rodgers, and Cam Hayward walking off the field together this year?
Hey, it's funny. Cam and I have been doing it for years. We just have. We get a road victory. He and I generally have responsibilities and so forth. And we made eye contact a number of years ago. It might be 8-10 years ago now. And we've been walking off the field together like that for that long. Nobody cared or paid attention until Aaron got involved. And so, you know, we invited him into our little group. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten a heck of a lot more attention, obviously, since he's gotten involved. But Cam and I personally have been doing it for years.
Well, maybe part of that is obviously Rodgers is who he is, but he's also the quarterback and broad. You know, the Steelers are in a lot of standalone broadcast games, and the quarterback speaks to a sideline reporter afterwards. And, you know, it's very rare to see a coach and somebody who I think is a Hall of Fame defender standing waiting for the quarterback to be done so you could all walk off together. That could be it too, you know?
You know, it probably goes back to our days, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. When that rivalry is really heated versus the Cincinnati Bengals and Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones and stuff, I think Cam wanted to walk out with me, man, because people be throwing stuff at us when we exit the tunnel. If you really want to hear the real story, some of these road game venues, man, have been hostile environments, and that's why we started walking out together. And so we figured we better do the same with eight. Because I imagine he faces a little hostility as well.
Mike Tomlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes with the Steelers head coach before He goes off to see more about the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football right here on the ESPN family of networks. So how do you work DK Metcalf back in after the two-game suspension? And was he going out of his mind watching these games?
Hey, Coach? Rich, how I work him back in is immediately. he's a guy that's, you know, ready to go, certainly. He was able to work out and so forth in the midst of the two-game. And so I don't expect it to be any rust or any issues relative to him getting back on the moving train. Certainly, we're excited about having him back, but certainly there's growth in not having him. You know, just us having to strategize and grow from that perspective, individual players getting an opportunity to rise up and expand their roles and make plays. And so, you know, hopefully we benefit from having him back, but also just some of the challenges of having to function without him as well.
What about growth from his point of view of not being available based on what happened in Detroit, Coach?
Man, he's sick about it. I'm tired of hearing him apologize about it. It's behind us now. It's time for us to move on and get singularly focused on what lies ahead. Certainly, there's a growth opportunity there as a man, but all indications are that it has happened and he's open and non-resistant to that. And so my focus is the football that's ahead of us.
And how's TJ Watt feeling right now?
You know, I think he feels great. I'm sure there's some, you know, soreness. It's certainly been a number of weeks since he's played in a football game, but just from a general health perspective and so forth, I think he certainly was glad to be back out there. I know we were glad to have him back out there. He didn't take long to make his presence felt, man. We needed that short field, that turnover that he provided.
A few minutes left with Mike Tomlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the news involving John Harbaugh, Coach. Obviously a guy that you took on multiple times, including this past Sunday night, and is almost as tenured as you are in your job as he was, past tense now in his. What's your opinion upon hearing that news?
You know, first, I just have so much respect for Harbs. You know, our stories will forever be, you know, interwoven. This rivalry that we've been fortunate and honored enough to be a part of. I just got so much respect for him and how he's gone about his business. And we've certainly had some legendary battles over the years. You know, in terms of him being let go, unfortunately, I just think it's a component of today's sport culture. And so... You know, there have been many examples of that, and so it's unfortunate, but I'm sure that he is going to move on, and if he chooses to coach again, I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he'll be very successful at doing so. But more than anything, I just think it's, you know, a larger example of today's sport culture in terms of, you know, not a lot of patience in the entertainment component of what it is that we do. There's just not a lot of longevity. You know, I'm sure we all would like to be Don Shula and Tom Landry, but I think those days are gone.
Well, I mean, you are the avatar of that these days now more than ever. Certainly since a guy was 1 year behind you in terms of tenure, now it's, I believe, Andy Reid who's closest to you, and that was in Kansas City, and he had to leave the state of Pennsylvania himself. So
I'm miles away from Tom Landry and Don Shula.
Well, I know that, but I mean, if anybody couldn't, if you will, run them down, it would be you in your current position. I had Bill Cowher on the show yesterday, your predecessor, almost two decades ago, which is kind of wild to say. And he was going through in detail what his conversations with the Rooney family would be after a season and how they don't really stick their two cents in during a playing season. And so I'm wondering if you think about those things, about your longevity as you go into this game on Monday night at all.
You know, I don't. First of all, I'm certainly really appreciative of the work environment that I've been in for 19 years and the stability and the steadiness of our ownership. But man, I'm tunnel visioned. You know, as a leader, man, I'm called upon to serve these guys, and you know, NFL playing careers are very short. And so I certainly can't seek comfort in the longevity of my career. I work with guys who have very short careers. And I tend to try to always have and mirror that urgency. I think it's disrespectful not to have that level of urgency when I lead them. And so, man, I don't very rarely do I delve into big picture perspectives or appreciate the longevity component of what I've been able to do. There's just so many things that are waiting for me today, this week, that demand my attention.
Do you have an outside noise person in your world that informs you of stuff?
I don't. You know, people that are closest to me know I really don't care, you know. And so they've learned over the years. But every now and then, you know, just the number of texts I get in my phone of people checking on me gives me an indication of the level of outside noise. When I get texts from people that are just checking in and checking on me, that lets me know that the outside noise is pretty loud.
Well, I mean, you know, the outside noise hit inside the building weeks ago. You go on a win streak as well, and now here you are hosting a playoff game with the fans around you now. And that was a large conversation. So when I'm reading about some stories about you thinking about TV or thinking about other things than just coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers, that comes from outside, not from your two cents and thinking about it?
Hey, Rich, I don't participate in any of that, man. I can't allow myself to. Mm-hmm. I'm not even really privy to the specifics of what you're talking about. I just realize it's a component of what I do and what we do. And you better learn to live with it or at least endure it. You know, there's more U.S. senators than NFL head coaches. And I have a respect and appreciation for that and an understanding of maybe some of the things that come with that.
All right. So last things for you is you still seem to love it. You love it? You really love doing this? I know you're laughing, but honestly, it's a grind. I mean, you have more gray in your beard than the first time I interviewed you. That's for sure. You know,
I'm institutionalized, man. I got to have it. You know, I just love the challenges week in and week out that this job provides, the growth in it, the collective growth, the individual growth. Mm-hmm. A lot of lessons I've learned in life, man, has kind of been through my football experiences. I've been on the team every year of my life, man, since 1980. And so I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time. And I guess my excitement of you saying yes to this interview, I guess it can be summed up like this way. And then did I do it right?
Hey, absolutely.
Did I do that right?
That's a tip of the cap to one of my favorite MMA competitors, man, Derek Lewis.
Okay.
That's his celebration.
Well, there it was right there. Very good. Yeah, he's been on this program before, so I didn't put two and two together.
I got so much respect for that human and how he goes about his business.
Okay, I just want to make sure I did it right. Thanks for the time, Coach. Really appreciate it. Good luck Monday. I'll be watching, and then I'll be chatting with you down the line. Thanks again.
Appreciate you, buddy. All the best.
Right back at you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I guess I'm the first human he spoke to all day, is what he just said. I'm honored.
And they're on East Coast time.
I'm glad we get an idea of like how does he operate? Yeah, does he do? All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Talk about John Harbaugh when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different. because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Radio audience has just returned here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm in the midst of giving my two cents about John Harbaugh. I'm stunned that the Ravens are going in another direction. But at the same time, I can understand it. In the same way that we just spoke with Mike Tomlin of Pittsburgh, he's as invigorated as ever, understands the role that he serves in the Pittsburgh community as well as that franchise. If the he even said basically he knows nothing lasts forever. Nobody's going to be the Landry or the Shula of our generation. And I guess Harbaugh was as close to it as anybody. And now Tomlin sits with a clear lead on being the most tenured head coach in the NFL. So anything obviously can happen. I get that. But totally surprised that the Ravens are moving on after 18 years with a guy who I understand frustrated a lot of Ravens fans with the results. But when you year in and year out have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and I know you get frustrated when you don't win playoff games and you don't win an AFC championship game, or you don't get to the Super Bowl more than once in his tenure, and you don't get to the Super Bowl at all with a guy who wins MVPs, plural, and could have won a third last year, and you do stick that on the coach after it's 18 years of buildup, and you're going to be running the risk of no longer having that year-in, year-out ability. That is way better than most fan experiences in the NFL, I have to tell you. Speaking from experience, Jason Feller is not wearing his Raider hat today. You can speak from that experience.
Definitely.
You, sir, from the Dallas Cowboys can speak from that experience. Chris is water skiing behind lots of yachts from his New England experience. But this experience, Ravens fans, has been incredible on its whole. And in terms of Harbaugh's abilities, I mean, our colleague here in the Disney world, Adam Schefter, posting about an hour and a half, 2 hours after the Harbaugh news broke, that Harbaugh's agent informed Adam that he's received seven different teams' interest.
Makes sense.
On behalf of his client. Well,
you do the math.
There's only seven head coaching jobs open, and one of those seven was created by the team that made him available.
Yeah, right.
So that means there's one other team that currently has a head coach that called to say, what's up? And you have to figure there's more than that, too.
Yeah, a new report today had that number at 9.
Of course. Number's going to be at least 12.
So John Harbaugh went from waking up Tuesday morning, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, going to see Steve Bisciotti, going through whatever meetings that they're having, not thinking that by the end of the day, he would be a free agent receiving phone calls and interests of damn near double-digit NFL teams. But that's what happened. And suddenly, anybody else who thought they might get this job, that job, that job, this job, guess what? You might not, because John Harbaugh is going to be at the top of everybody's list. Everybody's. I thought, you know, and Kevin Stefanski was apparently having dinner with the Giants last night.
Ooh.
I read that one today. And, you know, he woke up yesterday morning thinking, I'm having dinner with the Giants. I think I might get this job too. Wait a minute. Now, due diligence is all going to be done. But at the end of the day, John Harbaugh is going to be coaching in the National Football League next year. And if you ask me, My two cents, I don't have any insight on this at all. I haven't spoken to anybody in the Baltimore organization whatsoever. This reeks of a Jesse Minter job. Reeks. And I know Ravens fans think, let's get some Ben Johnson who's going to be hooked up to Lamar Jackson and off we ride.
Could you imagine?
But I think the Ravens are an organization based on, you know, what you've seen, that they take a culture person. And they take somebody who's going to bring in a fresh new set of eyes and maybe a fresh new coaching staff. But at the end of the day, is going to get the defense right. And at the end of the day, is going to bring in a sensibility of, wait for it, a Harbaugh. And it's interesting. Normally, when you fire somebody after 18 years, you go in the opposite direction. Maybe they will. But I just kind of get that sense. I don't know why I sniffed like that. But I'm smelling it.
You see the back page of the Post today?
Of New York Post?
Yeah.
Which is what? The Giants should go and hire him, or the Jets should fire their guy?
I'll send it to the guys at home. There's a picture of a smiling Harbaugh tipping his hat, and the headline is simply, "Here's Johnny."
Here's Johnny.
So,
listen, and Harbaugh's the type of guy that not only can cause a front office to think about firing their coach for him, but if there's a certain team that says we're going to keep the general manager and they're going to hire the new coach,
and not so fast.
he's the type of guy that could come in and say, "You want me? I'm bringing my own person."
Yep.
Like his brother. That's what happens after 18 years and making the playoffs in 12 of them. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'm late for Kurt Warner, but this has just been a crazy day to begin with. LinkedIn Jobs, before I let you go to break, LinkedIn Jobs is stepping things up with their new AI assistant so you can feel confident you're finding top talent and hiring right the first time. Get this. Employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. So get started now by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/EISEN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We take a break. We come back. Kurt Warner's going to join us. His two cents on John Harbaugh and setting up the wild card weekend with my guy, Kurt.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
My Hall of Fame friend Kurt Warner is joining us here. QB Confidential is his YouTube channel that everybody should subscribe to. And Kurt, I handed out the swag to the guys. Chris, you want to hold it up? Hold on a minute. There you go, Chris. Hold on. There you go, Chris. And TJ's got his.
We're going to have a QB Confidential day.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Appreciate you. The long sleeve was a touch that
this is good quality, too.
It feels good.
Kurt Warner, this ain't a cheap T-shirt. This is good stuff right here.
Come on. I got to take care of my guys.
Let's go.
Come on, man. There
you
go.
So thank you, Kurt. The swag has been doled out. Everybody's feeling in a good mood. So that's and I greatly appreciate that. The wild card weekend quarterback matchup you're looking forward to seeing the most is...
Gosh.
You want to read them out to you? Give you a second to tap dance?
Maybe.
All right. You got Stafford and Young. You got Caleb and Love.
Ooh, I like that one.
You've got Trevor and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You've got Brock Purdy and Hurts. You got Herbert and Drake May.
That's tasty.
Right.
And then Monday night, you've got CJ Stroud and Aaron Rodgers. Kurt Warner, the tap dancing is now complete.
I know. I'm going to go to one of the AFC matchups.
Okay.
I love the way Trevor's playing, and I think their offense is hot as anybody. And Buffalo, I think a lot of people are going, okay, this is your best shot. No Lamar, no Joe, no Patrick. You know, this is your best shot, Josh, to go through a bunch of young quarterbacks and get to the Super Bowl. But this is not an easy opportunity for them to get their first notch in their belt. Going down to Jacksonville, who's played great on defense and been great against the run, where Buffalo's been good. That's probably 1A for me. And then 1B is going to be the later AFC game with Drake May, who's obviously in the heart of the MVP running against Justin Herbert, who has been great this year despite all of the issues that they've had around him. It's probably why it takes a little bit of a downswing, because he doesn't have the offensive line. But he's been Superman a number of times. So I love both of those matchups. And, you know, I know we don't have to pick our games until Saturday and Sunday, but I've been thinking about it all week, and I don't even know where I'm going on some of these games because I love the quarterbacks that are involved on both sides.
Well, I mean, I asked this of Mark Schlereth yesterday, and this sounds like a question I would ask you in the hurry up offense segment at the end of our first hour on game day morning. 3.5. If I set the road wins at 3.5 wild card weekend, you take the over or the under?
I'm going to take the under on that. Could see the over, but I'm going to take the under just because I do believe home field advantage plays a huge part this round of the playoffs. And so some of these tight games, I feel like the advantage does lean to the home team. So I'm gonna go just under on that. Like I said, you could see any of, gosh, now they got me thinking about it. Now I'm going to kind of go through, because you got the Monday nighter where I really feel like the Texans are the better team.
And the Rams,
I'm still going to go.
Rams at the Panthers.
Exactly.
And the Packers came so close to winning in Chicago. Until the wheels fell off.
All right.
I'm not saying these are going to happen. The Niners are in Philadelphia. And I will say this though, you know, that the Chargers' problem is protecting Herbert. And I think, Chris, you'll even admit the pass rush of the Patriots is not part of the reason why they have 14 wins this year.
Correct.
Right. And their ability to stop the run is not part of the reason why they have 14 wins.
It was in the
year.
Beginning half of the year, but not in the second.
Well, and then, you know, in my research for the MVP vote, about where so much would weigh in favor of Drake May and what he was able to do for a team that had four wins, you know, three wins last year. And the, you know, they flipped the script. It's unbelievable. But the best defense in terms of ranking that he faced all year was Buffalo's. He did not face a top 10 defense all year, and the Chargers are that. So the Chargers have a shot for sure.
They do.
Sunday night.
I'm still going to go the under. You know, when I think about each matchup, I'm going to go the under on 3.5. But it definitely could be 3.
Okay, Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Then tell me what else you're looking forward to seeing on Wild Card Weekend, Kurt.
I just gave you all
the matchups. So
yeah,
what do you got?
I think I'm fascinated by the San Francisco Philly game, maybe the most, knowing what San Francisco had done down the stretch offensively and the way that they were playing. And knowing kind of Philly and the way they've kind of stumbled into this thing with what they've done offensively, but you've got strength of San Francisco offense against that really good Philly defense, struggling Philly offense against an average San Francisco defense. So I'm intrigued by this. I could see either team. Like, I don't know who's going to show up specifically on the Philly offense and what that's going to look like, although at home, a little bit rested from last week, where San Francisco had that physical game, trying to get the number one seed against Seattle. But that's probably the matchup that intrigues me the most, you know, beyond what I was talking about earlier. I love the Buffalo-Jacksonville matchup. And I know Jacksonville's not a big market team and all of that, but I just feel like they've been playing maybe the most complete football we've seen down the stretch, even though I know the Texans have won however many in a row and
Just only one more than them.
Yeah.
9 over 8. So,
and so Jacksonville, I think, has a really, really good, complete football team. And as I said before, I think there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, and a lot of people are going to be talking just because of what I mentioned, the other quarterbacks that aren't in this mix, not saying anything against these young guys that are in and in for the first time that are playing really good football. But just, I know a lot of people are going, okay, Josh, those other guys aren't in it. This is your turn. Show us that, you know, that you can lead your team to a championship. And I don't think this is an easy matchup for them. So that's the other one that I think I'm really, really intrigued by. And I can't wait to watch and see how that plays out.
Well, then let's linger on Philly a little bit, because, you know, the middle of the season was all about, are we seeing a repeat of 2023 where they start 10-1, then they limp into the playoffs, they're 1-done on the road. And now here we are with this Eagles team having won 3 in a row, including a game against Buffalo. that allowed them the opportunity to rest everybody in the final week of the regular season. And so of all the teams to have that, did they make a mistake resting their guys? Are they going to be rusty? To heck with health. They could have been the two seed. To have all any of the teams to have that placed on them going into the playoffs, of all teams, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. What's your opinion on them entering this game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not worried about Russ because they haven't been that good all year long.
Look at you.
You know, it's not like they were rolling, and so it's now it's like, uh-oh, they took a half off, and now what are we going to get? Like, I don't know what they are. I mean, I think the right move is just, hey, let's rest them. Let's get as healthy as we can and be as rested as possible when a team, as I said, in a physical game has to come across the country to play against us. And let's hope somehow we can put our best foot forward, which we haven't done very often this year. So, yeah, I don't think I don't worry about that as much with this team because I really don't know what they are and what they're going to lose by not playing, last week or a lot of the guys not playing last week. So I think it was the right move. I think you
do
be
because it would seem like you're wondering who they are and they really haven't done much. Wouldn't you want more reps? Like,
I think you would.
Right.
I think you would normally want that. But if you've gone 17 weeks and go, well, we can't figure it out.
Oh, boy.
I'm not sure another 30 reps is going to all of a sudden clean this thing up and have us go into the playoffs, you know, playing great football. And so that to me is why rest, again, sometimes it pays such huge dividends early in the playoffs when you get a chance to rest and recover when other teams are beat up and going through physical games. I just think that lends itself to the advantage for the Philadelphia Eagles, even though I'm with you. I don't know what we're going to get offensively. I don't even know what they're going to try to do offensively. But San Francisco's defense hasn't been great. They haven't been able to get pressure, giving up some yards in the run game. So I just feel like from a matchup standpoint, as struggling as this Philly offense has been, I feel like it's a good matchup for Philly against that defense to start the playoffs fresh.
So last thing I got for you, 2 minutes to go. Chime in on the MVP, Mr. MVP yourself. Yeah. What do you think? Who should it be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Matthew Stafford. You know, I said it on our game or on our show last week that you can't deny what he's done. And here's the thing for me, Rich. You know, I watch every game and I watch every snap of these two guys play. And so it's not to me just about the numbers or it's not about, oh, he's thrown a bunch of 1 yard touchdown passes. So that affects that or this guy's, played against a soft schedule. And so I watch every game and I watch every play. And just because a team might not be very good statistically defensively doesn't mean that the quarterback's performance wasn't impressive. And it doesn't mean that it was easy for that quarterback. So both of these guys, because I think we all know it's going to come down to a quarterback, both of these guys are deserving of the MVP. And there's different reasons why, and they've both elevated their teams and have played great. But when I watch snap to snap, big play to big play, moments to moments where they both had them, I feel like Matthew Stafford has been the best quarterback in the league all year long. And the other thing that I don't do is I don't have recency bias. I know that often plays into a lot of this stuff is one guy played really well early and not as good down the stretch and the other guy does the opposite. And so, we want to give it to the other guy. To me, this is about putting the whole body of work together. And when I put the whole body of work from start to finish of the season, I believe Matthew Stafford has been a touch better across the board than Drake May. And he would get my vote.
Is your MVP trophy in that room or another room? Where is it?
Yeah, I do have one right here. Yeah.
What a flex.
Well, I mean,
just wait a minute. I've got a coffee mug right here. I mean, what else do I got?
Come on.
Hold on. I got a magic eight ball. Over. And you're like, I got
one of them.
There's one right there.
Go grab it. Let me see it.
All right. Jeez. You guys, you can't say anything. You ask me a question, and I answer the question, and there she is. There she is.
So what a most valuable player looks like right there.
Well, I know what the award looks like, or at least one of them.
Man, I wish I would wish one time in my life I could do that with Emmy Awards. Hold on a minute.
Which one?
I don't have one.
I'm saying.
Like, I have one from 1996 on SportsCenter.
You're not done yet.
Kurt Warner, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
All I'm ever going to get is two.
Well done, sir.
You know, I'm done.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.